entire time. It is awesome. So you guys are also going to get to sit down. I figured I'd get at least one amen out of that, you know. I know we normally make you stand, but today we're going to let you sit, enjoy the story and the songs. Now, I don't know if you guys are like me, but I always tend to go back and watch some of the same deeply spiritual, you know, Christmas movies, you know, like It's a Wonderful Life or Elf, you know, that's a deeply spiritual one, right? And what does Elf teach us? That the best way to spread Christmas cheer is what? Singing loud for all to hear. Exactly. You guys are with it. All right. So here in just a little bit, as I'm telling the Christmas story, you guys are going to have an opportunity to sing loud for all to hear. And there will be some beautiful songs that our beautiful worship team is going to lead us in. And it will be a blessing to you. The reason that we do this Christmas candle drama is, if you don't know very well exactly where to find the Christmas story, it is actually at the beginning of Matthew and the beginning of Luke. And so the first two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke kind of go back and forth on the timeline of Jesus' birth. And so because of that, it doesn't always come out where you get a chance to hear the entire Christmas story told. But what we're going to do today is go back kind of chronologically, and we're going to share and let the Bible speak for itself. At the end of our time and at the end of the retelling of the story, there will be a little bit of an opportunity for me to just share a little bit of challenge. And I'm going to keep that really brief, because if you haven't figured it out yet, we've got a couple of other things going on, including a baptism. And so we're very excited about that. We're very excited about a baby dedication. I think both of those are incredibly appropriate on a day like today, as we celebrate Christ coming as a child and as a baby to be born so that we might be saved. And then also, of course, the baptism, which describes new life and symbolizes new life for us. And so as we go through this service, I just hope that you will put your heart and soul into it, lose yourself in the story, and allow yourself to see yourself in the story as well, knowing that God has come so that he might be Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Not just for us, not just around us, not just above us, but God literally with us. And so we celebrate him today. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin the Christmas story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in this time, especially at this time of year, I pray that our hearts and minds and our entire being would just be open to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, you have said so much by coming to live among us, to live as we've lived and then die as we die, and yet coming back to life so that we might have life as you do. And so I pray that whoever is here today would be reminded of how you changed everything by coming in the form of a baby so many years ago. And as we celebrate this time of year, we also celebrate you and the way that you have changed everything because of your coming. Bless us with your presence, I pray, and may your word speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody together said, amen. Amen. So before I begin, at the very end of our time together, we are going to have a chance for everybody to have a candle, everybody to light a candle. And so if you haven't received one, we want to make sure that you've got one. And I believe Chisholm may, you have extras as well in that box. But if you need one, we're going to kind of dim the lights in just a second. But if you still need a candle, go ahead and lift your hand. And by the way, and this is an opportunity for me to share with you, make sure your kids are with you, because you're probably more concerned about that candle than they might be. And we want to make sure that this place is still standing at the end of this service. Amen? So make sure that your kids are with you. We're going to have a good time as we celebrate Jesus and his story of his birth. Even though it was first told 2,000 years ago, it is still known today as the greatest story ever told. I'm simply going to share the way that it was written in God's word and allow God himself, who intervened in human history by sending his son Jesus in the form of a baby, to be the light of the world. And so we're going to sing songs that have depth and meaning and have had for decades, if not centuries. And we are going to also hear the Christmas story from the scriptures itself. About 700 BC, Isaiah, the Jewish prophet, uttered and wrote down words that were found in the book that bears his name. In chapter 7, verse 14, he writes these words, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." And then in chapter 9, Isaiah says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." These words spoken and written about 750 BC, for a long, long time, looked like God had forgotten his promise. But God never forgets his promises, and he always lives up to those promises that he gives. And we know today that he sent his son Jesus to break into human history and to give us an opportunity for hope and light in a dark world. And this is how it happened. In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. And both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. They were both very old. But once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple and to burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight, and many will rejoice because of his birth. And he will be great in the sight of God. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he will go before the Lord, turning the parents to their children and the children of the disobedient back to the wisdom of righteousness, and ready make a people for the Lord." And when his time of service was completed, Zechariah returned home. And after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "And in these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the birth of John the Baptist. And it's very interesting because at the end of the Old Testament, the very last chapter of the Old Testament is Malachi chapter 4, and it speaks of a person who's going to come as the prophet and forerunner of Jesus the Messiah. And then, chronologically speaking, the very next thing that happens in the scripture narrative is in Luke chapter 1, where John the Baptist comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah. God picks up where he left off, and he fulfills his promises just as he said. And in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you've found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born in you will be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was once called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt within her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. And why am I so privileged and favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord would do and believed the promises that he has spoken to her. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For God has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. While Jesus' mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he had in mind that he would put her away privately and not subject her to a public disgrace. But as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, for what is conceived in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord said, and he took Mary home as his wife. And in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. And Joseph went with Mary from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to a town called Bethlehem, town of David, because he belonged to the house and to the lineage of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for that baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
One. Two.
Gloria.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men."
Love song, which they bring.
when the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. And so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of Herod the king, Magi came from the east, saying, where is he that has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east when it rose, and we have come to worship him. In Bethlehem in Judea, Herod replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi and secretly told them exactly when the star had appeared and sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the child, and when you find him, report it to me so that I may too go and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen which it rose in the east came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And then on coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, bowing down and worshiping him, opening their gifts of frankincense, gold, and of myrrh, and presenting him with those gifts.
We give you all the glory.
we've just sung through and what we've just presented here with the reading and the candles is, as I said at the very beginning, what is known as the greatest story ever told. It's not just that all of the great things that come into a drama or into a thriller are taking place. There's so much happening for sure. But it is the greatest story ever told because ultimately it is a story that can still change your life today. It is about God who wanted so desperately to be reconnected to those who he created, that pursued us, became like us, so that he would understand us, that he would die for us in our place. How many of you guys have ever seen the Sistine Chapel? Not in person, but at least the painting of the Sistine Chapel where God is reaching out his finger and Adam is just kind of there as well. And there's like this, you know, in between where they're about to touch. Have y'all all seen that or at least seen a recreation of that? I saw a great story that was kind of posted on Facebook that I wanted to share very, very quickly with you. If you really go back and look at it very closely, it's interesting to see God and how he is depicted and how Adam is depicted. God is reaching and straining, and his fingers are extended as far as they can to reach towards Adam. And you would think, wouldn't you, that Adam, kind of reclining and lounging and having his hand extended, would also be reaching his finger out as well. But the truth is if you go back and look at it very closely, Adam's finger is just kind of resting. It's God straining towards us. Even when we are uninterested and disinterested in spiritual things, it is God orchestrating all of your life and my life so that we might know him, come to feel the ache without him, and then ultimately find fulfillment alone in him. That's what Christmas is about. He came to be like you, and he came to be like me, not because we were desperately seeking him, but because he was desperately seeking us. And so because of that, this is why it is the greatest story ever told, that the servant, us, is being pursued by the master, him. And the master will do everything to eliminate anything that gets in the way of a reconnection with his creation. That is why it is the greatest story ever told. It is the greatest story ever told because we, who have sinned against the God who created us, are being pursued by the God who says, I see you just as you are. I'm not fooled at all. I see you with eyes wide open, and yet I pursue you anyway because that is how powerful my love is for you. This is why it is the greatest story ever told. I want to just bear witness to you that this is the story that has changed my life. That a person who does not deserve it has been died for and still remains pursued by a God who is way too good to even be able to mention his name, and yet he still comes. And every single year that we come to this story, we're reminded of how much he has done to eliminate every obstacle and barrier so that we might be reconciled to God, so that we can have joy in this life, and that we can have eternal life and immense and uninhibited joy and just beauty in the next life as well. And so for us, this story is the beginning of Christ's redemption story, and we are incredibly grateful. And so I encourage you, if you don't know him, or if you know this story and it has not yet changed your life, it's very, very simple. You guys can see right over here this prop that we have had, sharing it with other churches to be used. the Bethlehem Inn, and you guys already know the story, right? The innkeeper comes around and says, I'm sorry, but there's what? No room in the inn, no vacancy. And so they get sent to the stable where Christ is born, placed in the manger. This is exactly what we have to guard against. And I'm going to make this very, very applicable to you and to me. In our modern world, you have a whole lot of things that will take up all of your time, all of your attention, all of your headspace, and if you're not very careful, all of your emotion and devotion. And we always think that this is the sad part of the story where the innkeeper comes out and says, you know what, there's no room for you here. Don't you get it? This is Jesus. He's God's only son. How in the world is this baby going to be born in a barn? How is he going to be laid in a feed trough? How is he going to be taken care of these parents and celebrated by shepherds, but nobody in the important and elite are ever going to know that he was born, right? This is what we can't quite fathom. This is the part of the tragedy of the story. But can I tell you, the bigger tragedy is for us to look back with 20/20 hindsight and still with our lives and the busyness and the headspace that we don't have or don't create or don't preserve, with the emotion and devotion that we do not give to him, we have, for all intents and purposes, declared, I'm sorry, but here in this life, there's just no room. You see how that's even a bigger tragedy? Amen. And so for you and for me, the way that we make him room, the way that we make room for him is by saying, Lord, you have room for, we have room for you in my life. I will slow down my schedule. I will make the headspace. I will make sure that the things that are going on in my life do not eliminate you as the most important feature and most important part of my life. And so I encourage you at this time, during this season, let every heart prepare him room. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredible story, the greatest story ever told, which, dear Lord, we praise you and glorify you, that when we were uninterested, when we were too busy, when we had nothing left to give to you that was of worth or value, you continue to pursue us. You were born to be like us. You were born to die so that we might be made as creatures who can live forever in your presence, forgiven, holy, and justified by your sacrifice. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being willing to come and die in our place. We love you. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. And we celebrate you and worship you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody together said, amen. When the Magi had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you that all is safe. He got up and took the child and his mother during the night, leaving for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. So the wise men went back to their country, and the shepherds went back to their hillside and their sheep. And eventually, both Joseph and Mary died a normal death. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, continues to live. And we celebrate him and fact that he is a king. Who would imagine a king?
Mommies and daddies always believe that their little angels are special indeed. And you could grow up to be anything, but who shepherd or teacher is what you could be, or maybe a fisherman out on the sea, or maybe a carpenter building things. But who
I think we made the right choice for who's going to sing it. It was between Karen and me, and I think it was probably the better choice. But y'all can hang out for later if you'd like, just in case. So now, in just a moment, we're going to have one member of each family kind of come and light the candles as we sing a couple of songs. One of them is We Have a Savior, and then the next one is Silent Night. And then after Silent Night, I'll say a prayer, and then we'll all extinguish the candles that we have. So I'm going to call you up, not call, but I will motion for you to come forward, and if one of each family would come, and then take that flame back to your family. This is symbolic of how one by one we are given new life, and then we go, and according to the Great Commission, we go and share what Christ has done to change our life. And we share it with others so that they might be changed as well. And so in just a moment, as we begin singing these songs, I'm going to motion for each one to come. And then after we've all had our candles lit, we will say a brief prayer, and then we'll kind of bring our candle service to a close, okay? So let's sing, We Have a Savior.
Child has been given, the King of our freedom. Sing, for the light has come. This is Christmas. Come and adore Him and bring gifts before.
That we have a Savior. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. You know what? I guess you can't do that if you're holding candles, can you? I think I made this same mistake last year. Y'all have to forgive me. Pray for growth for me for this year. I'm all for it, though. Y'all sound great. Let's sing Silent Night together.
Silent night, holy night.
Father, in the place of darkness, you bring light. In the place of desperation, you bring hope. And God, it all began on that first Christmas when you were born into this world. And I give you praise and glory for the way that you have changed so many of our hearts, which were walking around and just trying to find our way in darkness. And yet, just like you have predicted in Isaiah, upon those walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. And we just give you praise for the way that you have not only changed our lives, but Lord, you continue to change this world. December is just a little different because we are a little closer to you in this time of year than ever before. And so, Lord, let that be something that we hold and keep. And Lord, do not forget. And instead, Lord, that we share, just as we have shared this light, we share with others the way that a darkness can be dispelled. And Lord, the way that you bring light. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done and all that you continue to do. You are not just worshiped because of what you did, but because of who you are still to this day. We glorify you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. All right. You guys go ahead and extinguish those candles by blowing them out right now. And then, if you would, when you go ahead and blow those out, if y'all would all go ahead and rise to your feet, we're going to bring the lights up a little bit. And we're going to sing Joy to the World, and you guys sing right along with us, but also get around, shake hands, and welcome each other in the name of the Lord for just a few minutes. Let's go.
Three.
Okay, no excuses now. How about a hand for the band? Good job, you guys. Awesome. Okay, you can be seated. We're not quite done. We've got a couple of things, some special parts of the service still yet to happen. So here's what we're going to do. If you guys will go ahead and have a seat, we won't be too much longer. But actually today, we have something that's not the norm for us, but it is something that I think fits perfectly. We have a baby dedication. So I'm going to go ahead and ask the Castros to come forward, if you would, please. Go ahead and bring Leah, and bring EJ, bring Vince, bring your husband, you know. Y'all come on up here, and so I will have you guys, light a candle. And so here, the two of you are symbolized. You know, each one of you, Eddie and Felicia. And then this candle is like to symbolize little Leah. And for you guys' information, I had the benefit and the blessing of being able to dedicate Vince. I'm dedicating Leah today. And unfortunately, I didn't really know EJ when he was a little guy. But we're pretty good friends now, right? I mean, don't leave me hanging. I mean, come on, right? We're pretty good. All right. He's like, not really, Pastor, but, you know, he's my buddy. And what I'm going to do is absolutely a blessing. I'm going to be able to anoint all of them and pray over all of them. And so I don't know how you guys want to handle this. Maybe I might hold Leah, and let's see if maybe you can, let's see what happens here. Hi, girly. How you doing? You doing good? Oh, you're so pretty. You're so pretty. I've got a little bit of you know, experience with this part, so holding the girls, right? Yeah, absolutely. And so the reason I have them light this candle is because this little life, this little girl, yes, you, she's so fragile, and yet the potential is incredible, right? I mean, literally, this flame, as you guys probably saw just a moment ago, as you were going back, it can be very, very fragile. You can lose that quickly. But what did I say at the very beginning? I want to be very careful that we make sure that the only fires are on the candles, right? So in so many ways, this life that you guys have been entrusted with is very, very fragile. But she's also got tons of potential. And part of your job as a parent is to give them roots and to give them wings. Now, right about now, she's starting to get a little squirmy, so I'm going to give her back. But if she does cry, it's going to be my fault. I'll tell you that right now. There you go, sweet girl. I want to read a passage of scripture from Psalm 127. It says, "Unless the Lord builds this house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." You guys don't know this, but some of you do, some of you do not. But Eddie is a soldier, which I greatly respect. He's one of those guys that he would be in my foxhole if I knew somebody was coming to my house. I'd be like, "Eddie, what are you doing this evening? Come over." But here's what the scriptures say. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. There are parts of raising your family that only the Lord can do. As much as you want to protect them from everything as a mama, as a daddy, you won't be able to do that, but yet the Lord always will. And then it goes on and it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. And blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate." In other words, this is a beautiful thing, and God recognizes the beauty. And not a single one of these children has been given randomly, but has been given specifically to you as potential, as fragile, but yet also as joy, as a responsibility and a privilege. And so because of that, we are dedicating her. We are dedicating EJ and praying over all of them. But ultimately, it comes to you two. In many ways, this is a dedication of y'all declaring your decision and intention to raise these children to be the people that God has called them to be, enabled them to be, and gifted them to be. And some of you guys are here for the Castros as well. If you're here for the Castros, would you, or a part of the Castro family, would you stand? You guys just go ahead and stand for just a brief moment. And Jesus is back there as well. He's behind the drums. It's not as easy for him to stand up. There's an old saying that from an African proverb that says that it takes a village to raise a child. That it is never just one person. It is never just one mother or one father or even one aunt or uncle or grandfather, grandmother, any of those things. It takes all of us, and it even takes us as a church family to pour into these children to make them the very best that they should be and can be. And so no matter what, let's never forget that it takes a village. That includes you and me, and it also is a blessing and a privilege. And so I'm going to anoint these children with oil and just make the sign of the cross on their foreheads just as a way of being reminded that the Lord is the Lord of their life. He is the one who has given this gift. And EJ, God bless you, buddy. Amen. Can I do you as well?
Thank you.
I know there's going to be pictures later. Bless you guys.
Thank you, Pastor.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, for this Castro family, just a beautiful family that you have blessed in so many ways. And as our church family even now reaches out their hands and extends to them in a way and showing of the blessing that they are praying for them, I pray that every one of these children would grow to become the people that you have called them to be. We love you and praise you for the gifts that you have given us. You are worthy of our worship, not because of what you have given, but because of who you are. But Lord, the gifts that you give are so, so joyful in our life. Please bless Leah. Please bless Vince. Please bless EJ and Eddie as he leads this family, and Felicia as she is the mother of this family. Bless them all. May every one of them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are walking the path that you have for them, and bless each one. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone together said,
amen.
Can we get amen? Thank you, Vince. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Vince is taking my job. I can already feel it, like he's coming for my job. Did you hear him? He's like, amen. And then he's like, bye. So this is not the norm, but what a beautiful reminder of that old saying that a baby is God's way of saying that he believes that the world should go on. And a baby that was born that saved and changed the world. Speaking of the changing of the world and the power of that, we have somebody who is going to be baptized today that is unfortunately not always able to be with us, but has been a few different times. And her name is Roxy, and Roxy is right here on this front row. She's going to be baptized. But the person that's actually going to be doing the baptism is Peter Robinson, because last year, it was actually still this year, but it was during the summer, June, July, August, Roxy lived with them, and they were a big influence in their life, and they shared a lot of life together. And so we want to just take a moment and give Peter a chance to baptize Roxy. And this is a beautiful reminder of why Christ came in the first place. Amen. And so, Peter, I'm just going to turn it over to you, and let you take care of it from here.
Hello? All right, there we go. Perfect. First of all, I am so excited and proud to be able to baptize Roxy today because when I heard about it, it was just very special because I just saw God orchestrating everything and how this day has come about. But before we get started, I just do want to tell you a little bit about who Roxy is. So Roxy, first of all, last night, we had a little dinner. So that's why I'm hiding behind here because I got like maybe 4 inches extra on my waist right now. But we went to this place, Texas de Brazil. And so the whole family went there and friends, we went there. And it was a day for Roxy, right? A night for Roxy. And in that dinner, one of the things we did was go around and just ask people, what do they appreciate about Roxy? And so many times what you heard is a young lady who truly like cares about others. Some people just met her for, you know, within the last few days. They saw how she was genuine, she's nice. But even beyond that, she works hard. Like she's a good person to show my kids what good looks like in terms of cleaning up around the house. And so she's done an amazing job. She's always willing to just step in. You know, she's so gracious, but yet at the same time, she's so confident in who she is. And, you know, we had an opportunity. Roxy is from Jamaica. We had an opportunity in the summer to be able to have Roxy come and stay with us. And Isis, my oldest, Roxy and her roommates. And so it was really cool to be able to have her come and stay with us for the summer. But let me tell you how God works in all this. Because not only Roxy was able to come and spend time with our family, but, you know, we just are who we are. We brought her in as a family. She calls me dad. We, you know, she's just like the daughter. So, you know, I get on her when things aren't good, right? And we talk about the good and the bad and the ugly, right? So she's been in all the family meetings. She's been part of everything that we do. But what's interesting here is at this around the same time, maybe a month before that, I remember I had an opportunity to start this discipleship class. And as we were going through this disciple-making class, I remember going back to one of the classes. It was just talking about, what God has called us to do as Christians. And one of the things, going back to Matthew 28, verse 20 or 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I have commanded. And then God goes on and says, I will be with you always to the end of time or to the end of ages. The thing that really captured me there when I was going through this lesson at the time and they were talking about those verses, they said, what's the most important word in there? The one that we miss all the time. It's the first word, which is go. And it was interesting because there are a lot of different people in that class at the time who were at different places. Some people maybe only know like one or two scriptures. Others may be a little deeper in there. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. But what's interesting was they said, it doesn't matter where you are. God commands us to go. And so when we say go, what does that mean? God is saying no matter where you are on your spiritual journey and where God has you right now, we still have an opportunity to go and tell people about who Christ is. We have an opportunity to go and plant those seeds. God is not asking us to bring people to him because guess what? God can do that himself. But it's our jobs to plant those seeds. And so I remember praying after that and I would say, God, who do you want me to disciple? And I started to change my whole perspective on what disciple is about. It's about like bringing them into your life. Bringing them into your life, them being a part of who you are, not just going and give somebody a good inspirational word once in a while, but truly sacrificing and bringing them into your life. And so I was praying about that. And then, like I said, Roxy, all of a sudden, she came into our lives, but I didn't connect the dots. I didn't connect the dots until Father's Day. And I remember Roxy writing a letter just like all my other daughters did. And she was telling us how being a part of our family, God, she has gotten closer than she's ever been to God and what Jesus is doing in her life at that moment. And she was thanking me for that. And I never realized that. And that's when God told me, hey, I'm doing exactly what you asked for. So my point here is that this is not only special for Roxy because she's now about to be baptized and create even a deeper relationship with God, but I think what's even more important for all of us, including Roxy and everyone here, is that we have to go. We have to be willing to step out and say, you know what? I don't know everything I need to know, but I know who Christ is to me. So I'm going to go and live that, and I'm going to go and share that and let God do the rest. And so I just appreciate Roxy being a part of our life. She's going to be a part of our lives the rest of our lives. She's coming and she's spending Christmas just like the rest of my daughters are. And again, I just think God is doing a lot of amazing things in her life, and I just appreciate what God is leading her to today. So with that, you ready, Roxy? Let's go get up here. Be careful now. You know, Pastor said, I'm going to slip. Let's be careful. There we go. Sit down. All right. Upon her profession of faith in Christ Jesus and her belief in her heart that God raised him from the dead, I baptize my daughter and my sister in Christ, Roxy Duhaney. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in Christ's baptism, and raised to new life. Awesome. Love you, Roxy. Let's go, I'll help you out.
Thank you so much, Peter. Roxy, God bless you. We praise the Lord for you. We praise the Lord for having this opportunity to share in this time with you. And she's going to be going through this door and going to be into the ladies' bathroom to change back into some dry clothes. Why am I saying all this? Because if you go out that way, you might slip. So go out this way and this way. And even if you're on this side of the worship center, please go ahead and come this way and then exit there. Okay, so very quickly, we're going to share a couple of announcements. I want to just share a couple of announcements with you in a very, very brief manner, and then we'll be dismissed. We've got about 15 minutes left in the silent auction. And so this is usually when it gets really crazy. So we're not going to keep you too long. There'll be at least 10 minutes or so. But I do want to tell you that if you are going to be leaving with one of your items, please check in with Scott. And Scott is right there. He's going to be out front in the cafe. He's the one waving at you. He's got the dark hair, dark glasses, green shirt. And just check in with him because we want to make sure that the person that purchases the basket goes home with the basket, and you don't go home with anyone that you thought was the basket that you were bidding on or any kind of confusion. We just want to make sure that it's a blessing all the way, and we thank you in advance for all of those things. Okay, very good. And I'll turn it to Miss Tiffany, if you don't mind.
Well, what a service, right? I mean, who imagined you'd come here, see someone be baptized, see a baby be dedicated to the Lord, all right here in our church. It is so beautiful to be here. And so I don't forget, we hope to see you next week if you can make it, if you're still in town. So we have a couple of quick announcements. If you are visiting the church for the very first time or second time, we'd like to give you a Starbucks gift card. With this gift card, it will have Pastor Randy's direct phone number. Alicia, okay. No, oh, all right. So if you guys look to the back, Alicia and Miss Roseanne, they're waving, will have that Starbucks gift card for you. All right. We also have an EHC text line. This is the way that you stay in contact with the church. So if you're visiting again and you haven't been here in a while and you want to know what's going on week after week, please subscribe by texting this phone number, and you'll text the letters EHC. We also have a weekly growth subscription that comes out every Tuesday. And this is just a way to inspire you. So if every week you find in yourself in maybe a little slum and you want to be inspired, subscribe. You'll text the same phone number and the letters G-R-O-W. All right. We also have our white envelopes. So for those of you that don't know, the white envelopes were due today. If you weren't able to bring it back today, that's okay. But we have to have it next week. All right. And this is to basically support the orphanage in Mexico. I'm trying to think of the name of the city. It's Gethsemane.
Gethsemane, right. Yeah.
My accent is terrible, so I'm not going to even try. But if you have those items, thank you so much. Thank you for all of your giving. And all right, that's it. So we are going to go to the Lord in offering. We can give via Zelle. We also have PayPal. We also have white envelopes outside of the door. If you have an old-fashioned check or cash and you want to give, you can give those ways. All right, let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for giving us all the greatest gift of all, your only begotten Son. You gave him all up so that we could be forgiven of our sins. You don't ask for much from us, Father, but you ask for us to give cheerfully. Heavenly Father, allow us to give, knowing that you will provide every need. We thank you for all of the things that you've continued to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So now I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you. I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much. Hasn't it been good to be in God's house? Can we give him a hand this morning? Amen. Great to see you, and it wouldn't have been the same without you, so thank you so much for being here. And we're going to end the way we always do, and you guys can say it right along with me. We've just heard God's word. Now let's go live it. Love you guys. Merry Christmas.
Or we could do it. We could do it. Friday night.
He said, oh, y'all have
perfect. He's like, we're jamming.